In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we ended up at verse 2. We're going to go on to verse number 3, 4, 5, but let's just read 2, 3, and 4. 2, 3, and 4, just to get a background and pick up if we can. Ready? 2 Thessalonians 3, 2, 3, and 4. And that we may be delivered from unrighteous and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, trusting you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. All right, verse 2, we stopped there last time, you remember? And we talked about unreasonable and wicked men. Who are they, saved or lost? I would say they'd be unsaved and be lost, wouldn't they? Are there some Christians that seem to be unreasonable? They seem to be unreasonable. They have certain views and so on. We still love them as believers and Christian believers, but different ones. All men of that faith, speaking here of unsaved. Now, in verse 3 is our verse for today, beginning verse. The Lord is faithful. What does that mean, to be faithful?
True.
True, that's one thing. What else?
Keep your promises.
Does the Lord keep his promises?
Yes. Good and bad.
Good and bad, all right. Dan, what'd you say?
Full of faith.
Full of faith, faithful, all right, full of faith. Trustworthy, all these things. He keeps his word, he keeps his promises. The Lord is faithful. He says he's going to do something, does he do it?
Yes.
He says he's not going to do something, does he not do it? That's right, okay. If he says that if you don't do something, I will do this.
That's right.
If you don't do something, will he do that?
Yes,
he will. That's the difference between heaven and hell and accepting Christ or rejecting him. So he's faithful. Who shall establish you? Who's the you refer to?
Christians.
Christians, the people in Thessalonica, and by extension, the saved people, born again Christians today. What does it mean to establish you or establish you? Yes, Sam.
To strengthen.
Strength is part of it. What else? What is it?
Set it up. Make it.
Make it.
What to do?
All right, what else?
Make
foundation. What's the opposite of establish or establishing?
Tear down.
Could be tear down. That's right. What else?
Undo.
Separate. Could be separate.
Disintegrate.
Just disintegrate, yes. Could be drift instead of establishing. If someone's established, is he or she drifting?
No.
No. If he's established, he stays put. All right, so it's almost like the Mary had a little lamb, his feet were black as soot, and everywhere his foot to put, everywhere his sheep to go, his sooty footy put. Now, something you put down is established. And I don't know why, what caused me to remember that thing. I didn't get it right, but that was wrong. But established, does God want to establish us?
Amen.
Where should our establishment be?
The Word of God.
The Word of God, that's right. We've got to get right down into the Word of God and stay there and not move. Now, let me ask you this. Does the Word of God move and change?
No.
No, it doesn't. Do people's ideas about the Word of God change?
Yes,
they do. Should we change when their ideas change?
No.
No, we should not. There's a lot of modernization of a lot of things. Modernization of buildings and so on and so forth, different codes and so forth. Switch from oil to gas or gas to oil and different things. But the Lord, music changes, but the Word of God is changing. He wants to establish you. And what's the next word then? Keep you from evil. What's the word keep mean? Keep.
Stay away.
So I could be stay away, all right. In this case, well, sometimes it does mean establish. In this case, keep you from evil.
Prevent.
Probably in the sense of prevent, protect you from evil. What does the disciples' prayer say about evil? It's not
deliver
Lord's
us
prayer.
From evil.
Deliver us from evil. For thine is the power of the kingdom of the Lord forever. Deliver us from evil. Yvonne?
I was reading again behind me that evil, that's the devil. He's called evil.
He's called the evil one. That's right. The devil is the name for that. One of the names for
the
devil. Keep us from evil, the evil one from the devil, that's right. And keep us from evil. Now, let me ask you this. What is it? We're in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, as Anna said. That's right. Now, keep you from evil. What are some of the ways that God can keep saved people from evil? And John?
He can have somebody intercept our path. Either a person, an individual, or even an angel can intercept our path and keep us from an evil situation.
Did an angel keep anybody in the Bible from evil? Or try?
Yeah.
Who is the person?
Adam.
Balaam? Paul Adam. Balaam, all right, Balaam. And they asked the animal to want to be real and tried to stop him, and the Lord tried to stop him too. Yeah, Dan?
Lot.
Lot, tell us about Lot. What did the angel do for Lot?
Well, he was going, the men, they were going to pull him out, and, out into the midst of the people and shot him. But then the angels, they pulled him in, back in, and shut the door.
That was a man of evil that tried to attack, or that would be the advice, the homosexual trying to attack the angels, the two men, the guts, and that's one way the angels pulled him back and helped him. There's another thing that the angels did for Lot in his life. And yes, Sam.
They took him out of Sodom before God judged it.
Yes, that's right. They pulled him right out. So sometimes he uses angels. How else does God keep save people free? That's Sam.
By the indwelling Holy Spirit, which changes our thoughts and our desires from within.
All right. God's Holy Spirit.
Keeps us from evil.
Keeps us from evil, the guidance. And it says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of life. Walk by means of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's right. John?
The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And like God, we recognize that this is true. That's
all right.
That's
amen.
False. You know, reject that.
Very, very important to keep us from evil. Our hearts should be in God's words and God's will in order to ask Him to help us, to guard us from the evil one. Am I?
There is no temptation taking you to come to Him. But God should be
faithful. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. That's right.
Yeah. What I want to say about that.
And then Cass has got a comment too.
Right. I want to say something. I was reading about this.
A little louder, honey.
Well, I know what I'm going to say. I'm thinking. I was reading about this when I was doing my Bible.
Yeah.
And there is no temptation taken to you. But God is able with the temptation, ultimate. And what I always thought He was always able to make a way to escape. You know, like Abraham with Isaac up there. And there was the way to escape with that man caught with this. But this man is pointing out that the temptation is still there. God doesn't take the temptation away. He makes a way to escape from that temptation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was I can't find it.
Right. That's very, very good. Yeah, 10:13 is right. First we have Cass, and then Tammy, and then John. Then Cass.
Well, it just says in the Word of God that by reading the Word of God, it belongs to us.
Keeps
us
clean.
Amen.
It says in Psalm 119:1, "By thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee."
Yes.
That's important. Okay, Tammy?
Well, like my mom and Job was clearly not delivered from temptations. Although you could say that if you are spiritually delivered from temptation, that you've been delivered from temptation, even though the physical problem is still there, the trial is still there, but you've been delivered from the temptation of sin. And Job clearly was in that situation for a very long time.
Yes. Very good. Jonathan.
I just think the first thing that the Lord is faithful, He shall establish you and keep you from evil. Very comforting verse.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord shall keep you from evil. There's such evil that, you know, that, I mean, the ultimate evil is the person ends up in hell.
Yes.
As a believer can have faith that the Lord shall establish us, keep us from evil. That's a very, very straightforward statement of God's, He's really putting Himself on the line there.
How many people will escape hell? What kind of people are going to escape hell?
Christians.
Believers, saved people, born again Christians. Non-Christians, of course, will not escape hell. Yes, ma'am?
That word temptation is only means test or trial.
Yes.
So it's very interesting. My mother wrote that book, Able to Bear It.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trial didn't go away. It was escape.
God will make a way to escape that she may be able to bear up underneath us.
Some of us, we think the trials are going away.
Now, did the Lord Jesus Christ ever confront evil? When did he confront evil, and in what states, different states? Give me some examples of the Lord Jesus.
For the temple.
What happened in the temple? What?
Yeah, throughout the money changers.
Okay, he confronted that evil, and they should not make my father's house and then a thief's house for his hand.
He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan.
And Bill?
I was going to say the same thing.
Yes, now, in what way did Satan try to tempt or test the Lord Jesus Christ?
Worship Satan, and he would give him all the riches of the world.
All right, if you worship Satan, yes,
I am. He appealed to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
All right. There were three different parts of that temptation, weren't there? He took him up on the pinnacle of the temple, fall down, the angels would catch you. He said, turn these stones into bread, and so on. So different. Was the Lord able to do all those things? Amen. Why did he not do that? Yes, Sam?
Because he's God. He doesn't sin.
All right.
He's sinless. He's perfect.
Okay. Why does he want to continue? Did you have something?
No.
Okay. Why did he want to continue not to do these special miracles? What was he sent here to do with the Father?
He said that every word of God,
The question was, how did the Lord Jesus keep himself from evil? Not that he could ever do anything, but by Scripture.
Word of God.
How many different times did he quote the Scripture?
Three
different times. Each time. Not that the Lord Jesus could sin, I'm not saying that, but I mean the devil was trying to get him away, and he quoted the Scripture, the Word of God. Yeah,
fine. What
he
asked, what scriptures were, and what temptations were.
All right. Go to Luke chapter 4. We'll take a look at it. Or Matthew 4, either one.
Matthew.
Which one
are
you
going to? I think Matthew 4. Someone find it. Give us the verse. Is it right? Is it chapter 4?
Yes.
Okay, what verse is it, Sam? Verse 4, right? Read verse 4. Is that the first one? Is that the first temptation?
Yes.
Okay. What do you want to do there? Holy city? A pinnacle of the temple?
No, that was the stones.
That's the second one. Okay, the first one is the stones, right? Verse 4. It said to make the stones into bread. What is the scripture? Verse 4.
Man's
in the book of
Prologue. Okay, it is written. And where was it written?
Deuteronomy.
All right, Deuteronomy. That's chapter 8 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 8, 3. That's the first verse. What's the second temptation? What verse? Verse 5 and 6. What's he supposed to do?
Cast himself down.
That, what would happen?
The angels would... Satan quoted Psalm 91 Jesus.
In the wrong way.
And he twisted scripture.
Because it said, well, keep thee in all thy ways. He left out in all thy ways.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the ways. And so that quoted the scripture. And that was in verse 7. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. And that was the scripture quoted from where?
Deuteronomy
6:16, that's right. What's the third temptation? 6:16 of Deuteronomy. What's the third temptation? What verses?
Number 9.
Verse 8 and 9, okay. What did he say? Took him up.
I won't be thankful like this.
Up to a high mountain, short of all the things. I'll give thee if you do what?
Bow down and
worship me. What's the scripture verse you use there? What is it?
I shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall
worship. Okay, and where's that found? Deuteronomy 6:16, is it? Or where is it? 6:13, all right? In Exodus 20, all right? 6:13 in Exodus 20. And verse what?
3 and 5.
All right, now, let me ask you this. Satan said he's going to give them the kingdoms of the world. Who's going to get those kingdoms of the world? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to reign over all the kingdoms. Did Satan even have that to give to the Lord?
Yes.
He had some of it.
Yes.
He's the God of this world.
That's right.
But he doesn't have the whole thing the Lord permitted him to be the God of this world, temporarily.
Absolutely.
But eventually the Lord Jesus Christ will get all the kingdoms of the world. Yvonne?
Why would God give Satan a
chance to
Yeah, Sam?
In Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave man dominion over the earth.
Right.
And when man chose to rebel against God, he forfeited that dominion to Satan. And Jesus Christ came to crush the head of the serpent, and he's going to take back that all the kingdoms. He's going to take it all back when he sets up his kingdom.
And Satan is called the god of this world. So he has some power. Doesn't have all power, but he has some power. So he has sort of a half-hearted power, but Lord Jesus ultimately will have the full power. All right, so this verse number 3, the Lord says, establish you, keep you from evil. Does he want to keep the Christians from evil? Are Christians surrounded by evil? Is evil only in the unsaved world, or sometimes evil in the Christian world? What are the three enemies of the Christian?
The world, the flesh, and the devil.
Who's the closest to us?
The self, the flesh.
The flesh. Who's the second closest? Probably the world around us, everybody around us, and then the third, of course. Does Satan get right down, there's demons, with every Christian, or just some Christians? What do you think, what's Satan's plan?
Get us off.
Get us off if he can, Sam?
I don't think Satan is interested in me. I think he's got bigger things to do, like control world leaders.
He's pretty big, though, Sam. 6'5", isn't it?
6'4".
6'4", okay.
But I think that Satan focuses all his energy on Christians that are actually doing something for God, that are on fire for him, and they want to really impact this world. He's not wasting his time with people that just want to go to church every Sunday, and that's it.
Why do you think he doesn't waste his time on those things?
Because he wants to do whatever he can to bring as many souls with him to hell.
All right. And so, that's exactly right. Yvonne.
God gave Satan permission to touch Job eventually.
But
Do you think that people have formulated, I'll use my formulation, a little bit louder so all of us could be in on your formulation.
No.
Do you think that there are some people today in this world that God says, okay, touch my servant. Touch my servant,
John. I don't know. What did Satan say about Job? What's he going to do if you touch him?
Curse
God and die. His wife suggested that, didn't she? And did he curse God?
No.
Well, sometimes he was concerned. He didn't know why am I this? And so on. He was certainly under a lot of pressure. But the Lord delivered him.
Has given us the Holy Spirit to protect us as Christians.
Yes.
I don't think that he can do the things to us the way that he did to Job, because the Holy Spirit lives within us.
Yes. Can Satan possess a Christian?
No.
Because the Holy Spirit of God is there. What does it say in 1 Timothy? Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. Yes.
Not that I want to argue or anything, but Satan is interested in all of us.
Yes.
He finds ways that he can sense. I think that we're all under that, at least to the small. We have to be on guard. Watch, because Satan is there like a roaring lion. See, you may be the boss, is that right? Little people, but little people, maybe more of the big than little, but he's after little. He's after them. Is that fair, everybody? Yeah, Joseph.
It's just about ruining our testimony.
All right. He wants to ruin our testimony. He wants to get us to fall. Dick.
He's given us the equipment to help us to resist evil in Ephesians 6.
Okay, tell us about the weapons.
Right. And then he lists all the pieces of the armor, and of course, all of you are familiar with that. But he gives us all those things, and of course, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is useless to you, completely useless if you do not know the Word of God.
That's right.
And know it well with the Bible.
If you don't know how to use it and rightly divide it, it's useless. You're right. Yes, Bob. By the way, that word for word is not logos, but lema, which means the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God. In order, lema, six.
Ephesians
chapter 6 and verse, forget the word, what verse it is, but chapter 6 of Sword of Red, which is the word of God, 617. Yeah, was Yvonne that had a pen up?
They call them salvation.
Which is the word of God, yeah, Lema. Spoken word, not Lema, but spoken out word, see. So if you can't speak it, you don't know it, all right? So that's why memorization of scripture is important. Is the right scripture or the wrong scripture? The right or the wrong? That'll be the right one. In the English, by Brooklyn Church, the King James Bible. In French, it's the one that the people have just come up with, it's the first draft of. In Spanish, it's Dr. Gomez's Bible. Certain ones that are accurate translations with proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. So, he's able to keep you, a faith will establish you, and keep you from evil. Yes, Ron?
I think.
If that's the case, before you speak about, why do so many Christians get into evil if God's able to keep you from evil? Why so many Christians get into evil?
Because that's not the only verse in the Bible. We have to know the rest of the Bible says.
Okay.
Jesus says, you know, we have to abide in Him. You know, there's all things. We need to be diligent. We have to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We've got to discipline ourselves to take time in the Word of God every day. You know, many more things that we must do.
Some people use the term, people that, not apostatized, but what's the word they use when they slip back? Backslide. Questions at bfbbc.org. Give us a call or 856-261-9018. See if you're listening. If you have any comments on why do people backslide and get into evil?
Because they digress.
They digress? Right, Anna?
They don't spend time in God's Word and
in
prayer.
Don't spend time in God's Word and prayer. That's good, absolutely. Yes,
Sam? Satan has done really well at desensitizing us to sin,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Was Peter involved with any temptation to backslide? Remember, he said, Satan had desired to have you, and he sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that you sin not, see. Peter, and finally, of course, with the campfire enemies forming his hands, he was excellent Christian. But if Sammy?
Peter was overconfident in his thoughts to himself that though all the others forsake me, yet I won't. The Lord had to show him.
Yes.
Did
Peter forsake him? Was Peter lying when he said, I will not forsake
him? Three times
he said, I never knew him, and so. But later on, did Peter repent?
Amen.
What was evidence of his repentance?
The book of Acts.
Oh, the whole book of Acts. He preached repentance. What else?
His epistles.
His epistles, absolutely. His epistles. So he got back with the Lord, and but he wanted to take other disciples with him to go fishing. Where was he going to go to fish?
Galilee.
Sea of Galilee. All right, way up in Galilee to go fishing, and I think he took five more, six more, I can't think of total.
Yes.
James and John, and so he names them. John chapter 20, I believe, 20 and 21. And I go fishing. I say, we go with you. How did the Lord straighten them out at that point? That bit backslid in there.
They didn't catch any fish.
They didn't catch any fish until the Lord told them. What else? What, how did he straighten them out? Three times. Go ahead, Simon.
Three times he asked him, Simon Peter, lovest thou me?
More than these. Either the apostles, the disciples, or the fish. I don't know what the these refers to. It could be any of those, right? So three times. What did Peter say?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Huh?
Yes, Lord.
And feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So, and then he talked about his death. Remember?
Yes.
What did they say about Peter's death? Remember, what about this disciple, John? If I want him to stay until tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow along me. And then it's told about how Peter's going to die. How what did the Lord say about Peter's death?
When he was young, he went
where
the
reverend would.
Yeah. But then he was
all that
was
supposed
to spread out his arms and
another shall go with. And what did that refer to?
Crucifixion.
The crucifixion. And according to tradition, how was Peter crucified? According to tradition, upside down. He wasn't worthy of the Lord. True repentance. Peter loved the Lord Jesus with all of his heart. Wrote these two letters, 1st, 2nd Peter. And so praise the Lord that the Lord was able to keep us there. It says in Proverbs, train up a child, and when he's old,
he will not depart
from us. Sometimes parents wonder how long before that child will come back before. Sometimes they do, sometimes apparently they don't, but God's promised to keep us from evil, and I know moms and dads pray that the children will come back to the Lord if they stray. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Is Peter buried in the St. Peter's Church?
I'm not sure. Is he Peter buried in the St. Peter's
Church? When he takes a tour.
Yeah, is that right, Dick? Do you know anything about the place of the burial of Peter? Is it a basilica in Rome, or is that just made up story?
Probably.
Probably. We don't know.
Where Jesus was buried?
No, where Peter was buried.
Oh, Peter. Oh, okay.
I was in St. Pete and that's from the church.
I'm not sure they say that. They say a lot of things. We were there too, and the guy told us.
What they say on the church?
Well, I don't remember. We don't go to Rome, I'm sorry. We just went to the Holy Land. That's right. So we weren't at Rome. Hey, Anna.
There's no evidence in the Bible that Peter was ever in Rome.
Right.
That's right.
Right. There's no evidence whatsoever that Peter was ever in Rome.
That's true. So as far as that's concerned, the Bible, we don't
see.
Therefore, questions at PFBC.org, give us a call. Look us up and see. Or 856-261-9018. Yes, Sam.
Peter's in heaven with Jesus right now.
He's in heaven with Jesus, not so for the body yet. We don't really care about that. Oh.
Right.
Yvonne? I think we should remember that Satan isn't all-powerful like that.
But
he can't...
Satan's not all-powerful. He's powerful, but he's not all-powerful. That's right.
Amen. He's
not omnipresent. Not omnipresent. That's why he's got to have all his devils and demons.
Yeah.
That's right. The only evil spirit.
The devil is a fallen angel.
Yes. Probably fallen angels. Yeah. Yeah, devils, demons, the evil spirits.
Yeah.
So they can get a lot of places with his minions. And so on. In college, and I'm sure they're here. They're here in the different states. And different churches, absolutely.
Amen.
In fact, Satan has ministers, according to 2 Corinthians 11, who are ministers of righteousness, but they're lost. They're ministers of parade as Christians, but they're phonies, they're fakes. And that's what Satan, he wants to counterfeit. He's a counterfeiter. And what is a counterfeit? How would you define that?
False.
False. But does it look true?
Imitator.
Does it look true?
Yeah.
What's true is false. The closest that it looks to true is the best counterfeit you can get.
Mm-hmm.
The closest to the true, but yet being false. Yeah, Dick.
Yeah, I had some thoughts on keeping us from evil.
All right.
But still, Paul says on a number of occasions, put off the old man.
Yes.
And put on the new man.
Yeah.
Now, if we have, evidently, as believers, we have a part in that keeping us from evil. We don't just go along our merry way and go, God is going to keep us from evil and do whatever we want to do.
Right.
Thinking too about that there's two levels of what we're talking about here. There's the natural level, the flesh, and the spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual level, God has, as it says in Colossians, circumcised the flesh of the old man. That's the spiritual level, but we're still in the flesh. So in order to realize the advantage of that, we have a certain act on our part, as Paul other places says, put on.
Put off. Part of that is prayer without ceasing, part of that is get in the scriptures, the word of God, the right word of God, read it, study it, obey it, follow it. That's right. Yes, Jonathan has a point. Hey, Jonathan,
counterfeiting made me think of a comment I heard this week. About the Federal Reserve printing money.
Yes.
And there was an interview, somebody had an interview that's on the record with somebody who worked in the Federal Reserve and worked on electronically creating money. But there was something like, I remember 6 months to create $1.3 trillion to ship it out overseas or whatever. They didn't do it, they didn't print it physically, but it took them a long time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this means is we are so out of money, we don't even have money to create and pay the printer.
Mm-hmm. That's what they are.
I don't know.
We got plenty of money.
All right. Yes, Anna.
Didn't Dr. Jasmine give some message? He kind of saying Satan had a counterfeit this and a counterfeit
counterfeits. Counterfeit Bible, counterfeit music, counterfeit gospel, another gospel.
Counterfeit
Christ. Counterfeit Christ. There's lots of different counterfeiting that Satan is a master of. Yeah, you got something in?
I forgot, yes.
Oh, okay. And it comes to you later. All right, so then in verse number 5, we're in 4, I guess, 4. Paul had confidence in the Lord. What does confidence mean?
Trust.
Do you have confidence in the Lord? How do you get confidence in the Lord?
Believe.
That's what's that?
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
By the Word of God. And? Scriptures, the Bible.
Amen.
Trusting the Lord. Confidence. Do you have confidence in people? All people? Some people?
Some people.
Okay, Jonathan?
Meditating on the Word of God.
I meditate. I shall meditate there day and night, because I'm as a third of according to all that's written there in Joshua 1, 8 and 9. That's very important. Yeah, Anna, and then Dick. In man, that's right. You're going to confidence in man. And also, Paul said in Romans 7, 18, have no confidence in the flesh. That's not a verse. But also, he said, I know that in me, that in my flesh, I dwell no good thing. But no confidence in the flesh. In another place, we quoted it this morning. Yeah, Dick.
Along that line, that's why he words this the way he does.
Yep.
He says, we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things we can. Now, notice he doesn't say we have confidence in you.
Right? Yeah.
You will do the commandments and so forth.
Yeah.
He puts it in the Lord's hands and trusts the Lord.
Right.
That the Lord will work through them and give them power to do his will.
Yes.
We commend you.
Confidence, yes, Sam.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways.
All the ways of him.
He shall direct thy path.
Direct thy path. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. So these are important things. To have confidence in the Lord touching you. What does it mean, touching you? What sense of that?
Concerning you.
That you both do and will do the things that we command. At two phases, do present tense, will do future tense. Are both important. What's more important, the present or the future?
Both.
Both, okay. Are they more important? They equally important?
Yes.
Why not?
The present determines the future.
All right. If you're not confident to do the right things in the present, will you likely do them in the future?
No.
If you're confident doing the present, is it possible that you also continue in the future?
Yes.
Quite often. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you stop.
Yeah.
So, if Paul was confident in the Lord, that you do these two things, both you do and will do the things which we command you. What did Paul command the Thessalonians? Are things in this first or second Thessalonian letters that he commands them?
Yes.
There's quite a few in Thessalonians 5.
Look for his coming.
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything so forth and so on.
First Thessalonians 5, lots of commands. Yes, what did you say, Sam?
I said, look for Jesus' return for us.
His return are these commands. Now, let me ask you this. On what basis did that is, Paul and his disciples and apostles, have to command anybody? On what basis was his authority?
Jesus Christ told him to go out.
Told him to go out. He was converted. He was saved. And the Lord talked to him and said, this is the command. You go out. So what Paul did, he kept to the Lord. So it's the Lord's command, not simply Paul as a human being, as an apostle. All right, so as they command, the things you command. Now, do people always do the things that are commanded to do?
No.
Should they do the things that are always commanded?
Yeah.
All things are commanded to do?
Good things.
Good things, all right. Are some commands evil? Some commands are evil, are they not? People tell us to do this, I mean, they're not always good things, but good commands we should do, especially in the Bible, biblical commands we should do, and this is important. Young people, until they're out of the house, should follow and obey mom and dad. See, that's one of the commands of mom and dad. As long as you're under that roof, you should be respectful of mom and dad and be obedient unto them. And so, yes, Jonathan.
And, the things that we command you, he was commanding them things of God.
Yes.
And so often, I think all of us, well, I'm sure all of us, we focus on trying to please people rather than trying to please God. And this is a really big place where we fall, where we make mistakes. We want to please God always,
if I do this, they'll be happy. If I do this, they'll be happy. So I'm thinking about what would really make God happy.
That's important. And
what is the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "Not be soon shaken in mind or troubled." So that's a command there. Don't be soon. And all men deceive you, verse 3, and so on. So all these different commands, in verse 17 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, comfort your hearts, establish your heavenly door. So there's all kinds of commands that he's given to them in this book and the first Thessalonians as well. And we're glad that they will do and will do what's been commanded. Did we read 5? Let's see, just 2, 3, and 4, I guess, didn't we? Now let's read 5, 6, and 7, please. And the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and unto the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not at the requests which we receive of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to allow us, as we behave ourselves as the Lord among you. We behave not ourselves. All right. So in verse number 5, the Lord direct your hearts. What does the direction of the Lord mean? And how does it perform today?
Faith.
Faith, what's that?
By the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit.
Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God directing us. Direct. All right, do all people want direction from anybody? Some people are independent completely, lone rangers. They will do as they want to do, and nobody tells them anything. No matter from up, down, sideways. But it's the Lord that is to direct. What does it mean, direct your hearts? Why does it say hearts and not minds, not bodies? Why does he use hearts here? What is the heart?
Heart.
Heart, what did you say, Edmund?
Love comes from the heart.
Heart. The same thing?
The heart is the direction.
Love. The heart is what?
What
will direct us? The heart, okay. Yes, Sam?
Because God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And,
right.
You know, I don't think the heart is talking about the physical organ inside of us. I think it's talking about our spirit, who we are inside.
So. In the book of Proverbs, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Lord Jesus, in the book of Mark and Matthew, he said, out of the heart. All the evil thoughts about this point, all these evil things come to the heart and destroy it. So the heart can either be good or bad. Depends on what's in that heart. And so the Lord directs your hearts, not your heads. Can you be saved only by head knowledge and not heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
It has to be the heart. Somebody has said you're lost for 18 inches between the head and heart. So that's true. It must be genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you.
I think as you said, it's not referring to the physical something organ.
All right.
But you've heard the expression the heart of the matter.
Yes.
And in other words, the heart as being the center.
Uh-huh.
The center of your of yourself. I mean, not of the flesh, of yourself, of your body, soul, spirit.
Yes.
Your center, the center of your life.
Right.
And that's what he means by heart.
The psalmist said, "My son, give me thine heart." Remember that? Give me thine heart. Then the rest of you will observe all your other ways. The Lord has our hearts. He's got the other nine members of our body. Two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet, one mouth. He's got the other nine members. He's got our heart. Heart is one that leads the whole show.
Which part is he? Here where the scripture is.
Jeremiah 17:9.
Yeah,
the heart is
deceitful above all things.
Yeah. And desperately wicked. Who can know?
Wicked and deceitful of
who can know? That's right. Then the next verse, I, the Lord, search the heart.
I try.
The Lord, try the rain. That's
that
right.
The same heart?
Same heart, I think so. Probably the same heart.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, you got something.
Let me tell what I told you.
Mark?
I read from Dr. Donald Barnhouse.
Uh-huh.
Most of you know who he was.
That's my teacher.
Teacher. He had a heart condition. I think he had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the hospital. And heart cath, whatever.
Catheterization.
Yeah, and so one of his friends, I think it was Dutch Coop, or Edward Coop, the former surgeon general.
Oh, yes.
Came to visit him in the hospital, and he said, he was the one that was operating on it, that's right.
Oh,
he came in and said, he told Dr. Barnhouse that I was actually holding your heart in my hand.
Hmm.
And Dr. Barnhouse replied, he said, well, Was it desperately wicked and deceitful?
That's very good. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Give us an email. Yeah, Bob?
I know what I wanted to say before. Is that what we're talking about?
All right.
It was said that like, if you read the Bible and you pray and you meditate, all the things that keeps you close to the Lord, you won't backslide. That isn't true because I can see in a couple of examples, one special thing about this woman was a major memorizer of scripture in the Lifestyle Memory Plan, where she was winning all the prizes and things. She didn't stay close to the Lord. She attended all the services. So it's more than reading the Bible, memorizing the words, and praying. It's more than that. But that can become like a habit or to get started.
Yes. All those things must be genuine from the heart. That's right. It can't be just superficial. And that's apparently what happened.
It
must be applied. But Jonathan and Sam. Right. Jonathan?
It's important. This is a race point. The Pharisees, the Sadducees in Jesus' time, they were diligent, so dedicated to the law, to the scriptures, but they lost the heart,
a meaning of it. What did he say about the outward appearance of the Pharisees in Matthew 13? Beautiful outward, they have quite a sepulchre, beautifully outside, but within, full of what? Dead men's bones and all iniquity and sin.
So we, in this room, and anybody hearing, anybody with heart, particularly with Russia, we should be careful that we don't think we have all these things and that we're really walking with the Lord.
We should be walking,
and we're thinking of the Lord, but He's someplace, He's walking someplace else.
What does the verse say? Beware Him that think of the standard, take heed lest he fall. What does that mean?
Watch out.
You can trip at any minute, see? It's easily done, yes.
You think you're so great that you can't sin.
Yeah, that's right. That's what will happen. You think you're so sinlessly perfect. Right. No, my friend, that's not possible. We got that old flesh still, and we have a tendency, ability to sin, only the Holy Spirit of God can keep us from sin and from taking away that terrible thing. Yes, Sam?
I think the idea is obedience to the Word of God, and not just obedience, but our motives. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart.
Yes.
So not just, we could be going through all the motions, but if our motives aren't right, then we've become self-deceived.
What's the difference between motions and motives?
One is what you're doing, and one is why you're doing it.
Okay. What you're doing, the motion, but the motives. Yes, Sam.
I wanted to read one verse that goes along with this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned or sincere faith. So there's that pure heart again.
Pure heart.
This morning.
Yes.
This morning.
We talked about this morning in Rome.
Amen.
That's absolutely right.
What I need.
Neighbor, that's right. The ones that spare you. Especially believers and Christians. So this verse here, the Lord directs your hearts into, first of all, two things. What are the two things that are directed into? Well, God. What's the second thing? What's up there?
He's raising his
hand. Dan, what do you got?
Before we can love our neighbor, it's just not loving our neighbor that's going to, that merits us, that allows us to be justified in God's sight.
Right.
It's not keeping the law.
Right.
But gives us the justification. It doesn't cause us to be justified. It's by having a proper understanding of who the individual is, who we are, that we were born in sin because of our rebellion. When we were eating with Adam, we rebelled and disobeyed God, and so we have to understand the remedy that God provided for us. We accept that remedy. It's not by doing, keeping the commandments or loving the neighbor. It's beyond that. And it's accepting what redemption, redemptive work of Christ on the cross, and repenting of the sin that we have, that we had, that we committed in eating, and we have in our own heart life.
That's right. All right, so these two directions, direct your hearts, and the first, the love of God. What does that mean?
I think the Apostle Paul, if I'm right, nowhere do we have an account of the Apostle Paul people about his love for God. I mean, he talks about his tribulations and all that, but as far as coming out and stating, I love God, I don't believe Paul makes that statement. That's not beyond the point. The point is, the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God. Now, this is very similar as the verse before it. He's telling them, giving them a command, but in a very indirect way. He's not demanding love God. You people love God as a command, but rather he's saying, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, which he knows that if that happens, they are going to love God.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we all know, there are two kinds of loves. There's the objective genitive and the subjective genitive. Which one is this? Love of God, love for God, or God's love? If it's subjective or objective genitive? Think it's objective, love for God, all right. Yeah. That could be God's love.
Yeah, maybe I think
it's subjective.
I don't know, Jesus said, abide in my love.
Yes.
And he said, if you can keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love.
Yes.
So it could be that.
Could be that. But direct your hearts into the love of God. Either love for God or God's love for you, see? One of the two, either objective or subjective, tentative. Two different ones in the Greek language. Both are correct. Either one depends on interpretation. Jonathan.
I think both apply in this case.
All right, maybe both of them apply. All right. God's love for you and your love for God. Objective and subjective. Direct your hearts. So, does God love sinners?
Amen.
How did he prove it? Did he prove it?
He said Christ died
for the sins of sinners. We had these verses in Romans. When we are sinners, Christ died for us. We're without strength. That God
died for us. The greatest expression of love could there be?
Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I prayed that in a final prayer. I couldn't even finish it. That's a great love, tremendous love God had for us.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Very good. Very good verse. And Paul realized that was a great effort, that he would come to save the chief of sinners. Yes, Anthony.
Even talking with God, even though it's not stated that he never said, I love God, all by his conduct throughout his life, that shows his love for God.
His conduct
shows his love.
Amen.
Did
you hear that,
Dick?
I heard it, but
he didn't brag about it. Oh, he didn't
brag about it. Oh, that's true. Good guys never brag. Only bad guys.
That's
right.
Like,
how
I love you.
Oh,
I love you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. He didn't say, well, because he first loved me. Yes. One of the young men at a campfire that we knew years ago, friends of ours, the family, they would sing this song around the campfire, and the son, how about you? And he named his name, and oh yes, he loved Jesus. That same young man got involved with homosexuality before his death of age. He came back to the Lord, but I mean, it's a sad thing. See, you can talk and talk and talk with your lips, but your life has to follow, has to stick with it, and can't stop it. Yes, Jonathan.
I was thinking about how when the Holy Spirit prompts us to give a glass of water to someone who is thirsty, over in Philadelphia, from a homeless person that doesn't have a meal, or claims they don't, then more often than not they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the love of God in both ways. I mean, that act is both the love of God in us, and for them it's hopefully our love for God, and it's both things.
Mm-hmm.
It's your love for your neighbor.
Yes.
You're going to live next door.
So, if your enemy thirsts, give him a drink. That's what the scripture says we have on.
Paul has two versions of his life. Before he was saved, he said, I'm sure he would have said, I love God. And he was defending God, and he was killing Christians,
yes,
born again Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got saved, the day of Damascus Road, his love for God was the right way.
Yes.
The other way was just a form of some sort, the Jewish form. But when he really got born again, then his love for God, through Jesus Christ, was
Any messages from our people? Who's got the machine? And sometimes we get the message, but we forget to read them. Questions at bfbbc.org, 856-3619-01. Yes, that's Joanne.
Well, when it talks about the love of God, you have to put God number one in your life.
Yes.
And also, how many of us would be willing to die for God?
Yes.
I mean, that's the text that we would all have to say. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I love you, but would you be willing to die? I mean, that's a text that none of us have ever had to do here.
Yes. Well, my wife blessed the service that we went to yesterday, which is a wonderful Negro service, and someone there said, people say, I'm willing to die for Christ. Great. But are you willing to live for Christ?
Amen.
More important than dying. So you're ready to live for Him, right? Not day by day. So that's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. They have a comment.
But I know, like, that I'm guilty. But I say so many times I don't put God number one in my life.
Yeah.
It's so easy for the world to get in the way.
It's really where we get in the way. That's right, Tammy.
I heard someone say that until we are ready to die to the Lord, sometimes find out they only have so many months to live, or maybe just recover. If we knew that we only had one more day to live, how would we live? We're not really ready to live for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's very true. So Paul said, crucified for Christ, and he said he died daily. And so, I mean, I have no trouble with the idea of we're not ready to live for Him is more important. I think that we need to be ready to die for Him. And in dying for Him, we are living like Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ.
Both are necessary. One other thing that was impressed upon me at this funeral service, memorial service for Brother Lafayette Burton, godly Christian man. He went, couldn't speak at the last. He had cancer and he couldn't even talk, had to write his message. But they said up here, a lot of people, they don't care what you know so much as knowing that you care. Interesting quote. Not as much caring what you know, but knowing that you care. Very important. It's very important. They said that.
Shows love.
That's right. That's right. Now, another thing that was said that service impressed me. When you're saved, you ask the Lord Jesus into your life to be your guest. Once He's there, He's your host. And you do His bidding. It says guest and a host. Yes, Bob.
I think